D-H-Z, go! I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z, know what popping in the field.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
I mean, they know what's popping in the field.
From what have you heard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Diaz and B-Boys. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Saints. Diaz
and B-Boys. Oh my God, do you really think we're all right? Are we cool?
I love this book.
Guys. Oh my goodness. All right. Let's let it ride. Yes, sir.
Oh.
It's Monday morning. Well, it's really Monday evening, but this is how I felt Monday morning when I woke up. I was brushing my teeth. A little, just like,
can't take your step.
Yeah, everybody, yeah. That's right. So this is 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
NFC South represents in the Super Bowl and falls on their face so that we can still lay claim to be. Yesterday I was wrong. I looked at Heath and I said, that means we're the only NFC South team that's won a Super Bowl. I got corrected just a little bit ago. I guess Tampa Bay got one.
I got carried away too. I didn't even remember.
Let's celebrate. Just ride for a minute here.
Going on right here.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I woke up brushing my teeth happy this morning.
Yeah.
But we're not. Tampa Bay has a Super Bowl.
Tampa Bay has a Super Bowl.
I forgot about that.
Tampa Bay was first.
And first, so, and, you know.
So but we kind of forgot about that. So.
Yeah, but at least
but
Atlanta,
who
our hated rival,
yes.
And my most hated team ever, the Carolina Panthers, with their most hated player ever.
Still without.
Yeah, still without. So, so we're going to talk today about the Atlanta meltdown. That right after the game.
I don't know which one was bigger, the team or the fans.
Yeah, I mean, they're ridiculous. Like,
or the media.
He pointed out that, like, the Saints, they referred to the Saints, like as soon as the game was over, there was an article.
Yeah.
They wrote an article about the Saints and how we, you know. So, anyway, then we're going to also talk about the game, obviously, the critical point, and whose fault. Now, yesterday, during the game, I turned to Heath and I said, Heath, did New England win this game or did Atlanta lose it? And I thought, I was like, hey, that's a profound thing. All day today, that's all everybody was talking about. Like, apparently it wasn't some kind of new or innovative kind of thinking. It was something that that everybody's talking about. So what else here? We got, pick'ems. There's going to be a happy winner. But while we're talking about pick'ems, y'all want to talk about me? Because I won a whole bunch of money.
Who told you to go the over?
You know what?
Yeah, Dan, we're always looking for an excuse to talk about you, buddy.
Yeah, that's, I mean, pretty much. Isn't that why we do this whole thing? So, but now I don't have to fund the pick'em league through my own pocket.
Yeah.
And what's funny, like every other time on this show, I picked the under because that's how I felt it would go. But when I got my layout for my for my pick'em league, I saw by the power picks and everything that the only way for me to advance,
right.
I could have played it safe and picked the under, and I would have come in second place.
Right.
Just because of the way it went down. But one thing after the other, I picked the over just because I want to go big.
Go for broke.
And I
go
end
big
up
or go home.
I end up winning
but
the whole
didn't
thing.
Didn't you tell me you weren't going to pick? I told you said take the over, and you were like, I think that's how it went.
Well, is that? Oh, yeah. So
good thing it's on the, you know, it's on the podcast.
The seed was planted by Tomas.
There you go.
And there you go. So, anyway, I think there's.
But congratulations, by the way.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And you know, I know. Thank y'all for making it about me because that's how I like it, right?
Yeah. But no, I'm gonna just don't forget free beer for Heath and me.
Free beer next round. Hey, next round's on me.
All right.
But Red Jim.
Red
Jim. Congratulations,
champion.
The winner.
Yeah.
So now all you have to do. If you send us an email address, I have there's let's see, hang on, let me get the contract out. There's 137 pages that need to be filled out in triplicate.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm gonna need a DNA sample, and you're gonna have to call in Red Jim, Call the hotline number.
Drugs, so, you know, you're going to have to pee in a cup.
That's
so.
Right.
Yeah.
What? So, 504-383-3369.
Oh, yeah.
Call in and name off those keywords.
That's right.
So that that you can collect your prize. There's no hundred. I'm gonna
just a skosh. You know, just you know, make sure you.
I'm gonna waive the documentation that you need to fill out. Just give us a call, and then you send us an email or something. I don't know. All the technology now, we can just do it through PayPal
or PayPal or
something.
I think what you do is just, you know, you're going to roll up a $100 bill, put it on a drone, and send it her way.
There you go.
Like the Super Bowl.
Yeah. There you go.
But and if we didn't mention, it's going to be paid off in
monthly installments for the next 20 years.
$1 per
month. Do just like the lottery.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
If you want the actual $100, it'll be, you know.
I'll put that $100 in escrow.
50 cents a year for the next, you know.
I'll put it in escrow at the beginning of the year so I can, I'm going to pay her off the interest.
If you want it in cash, then it'll only be $20.
That's right.
Yeah. If you minus, of course, taxes and applicable fees.
Applicable fees. I like that. So, all right. So, Atlanta's meltdown. Who was it? You were telling me, Heath.
Oh, man.
The article that I found hilarious. So the game is, like, barely over. The players are still jumping up and down and tackling each other, and Heath's, like, showing me his phone.
Yeah, I think it started before the game was even over, actually. Or maybe it was right at. But, yeah, it was one of the writers for SB Nation.
Yeah.
You know, probably the Atlanta writer or whatever. It was already, you know, talking about the Saints were trolling Atlanta. How did they say, you know, that no class kind of – I can't remember exactly how they put it.
Are you really concerned about that?
Oh, stay petty. Stay petty was what, you know,
and, about. And that just shows whoever writes is just a guy like us, just a fan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, literally the team just lost in an epic meltdown, and he's over there like, the Saints are being mean to us and saying hateful things. You know, and I'm like, are you serious? So, on the boards, you were saying they actually deleted the Falcon message board.
Yeah, the game day thread, you know, where they start at the beginning of the game and they're discussing the game in the thread as it goes along. And then, of course, when the meltdown started, the meltdown on the forum started, and it got so bad that they eventually just deleted the entire thing.
It was like they were over at Berkeley, huh, or something. It just started off, everything was fine. Next thing you know, people are throwing throwing cyber chairs into the cyber windows and starting cyber fires.
Yeah,
it got bad.
It got bad.
So Atlanta is leading, and it sounds like based on our conversation before we started, you kind of had – because I'm not going to lie, man, the game to me was pretty boring.
Usually,
you know, like with a Saints game, because I'm more intent in watching it much closer, not to mention the news came out again today. And they want to interview me. So did you were there. You were there. You looking at me like, really? Tell me more, Dave.
I thought you meant today.
No, no, no. I mean, if they come again, because they were here 2 weeks ago about the UK game.
Right.
So I don't know if maybe the
news reporter.
Yeah, the reporter. Maybe she's taking a shine, old Dave, you know. She's like, I gotta get back there. But that's twice in 2 weeks that they come out, the news just came out. And they came out and interviewed me about, like, the Super Bowl and the effect it has on small businesses and whatnot.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it.
Yeah, I watched it back. My forehead got its 15 minutes of fame.
Did it?
Yep.
So they have the wireless mic on me.
Oh,
they're in another room where they interviewed me. And I go back and sit down, and we start talking. I'm like, she wanted me to interview without my shirt on, but I told her I don't know if I felt comfortable
with that.
And
you still got the wireless mic.
And I'm like, now I know how those politicians get taken down.
Yeah.
Taken down by a live
hot
mic, man. So I'm kind of like a little distracted and not paying that much attention. And then I remember at one point I want to gloat about this because I'm begging for the over.
Yeah.
And I'm like, New England, I think they were at 9. And didn't they miss extra point? And I said, man, there's no way in the world. They're going to score 2 more touchdowns. And they might be garbage touchdowns, and that's what I thought it would be. It would just, like, New England's not just going to quit. It's not like they were playing the Saints in 09 and just pull Brady out the game. But, and, like, lo and behold, man, they scored more than just a couple of garbage touchdowns at the end of the game. So, you know, but anyway, going into late in the game, it looked like Atlanta just had complete control. And that's when – the critical point, Tomas.
Yeah, like I told you all, I think that you look at the game, certainly in the first half, it looked all Atlanta. I mean, I couldn't believe how badly Atlanta was beating the Patriots. And so I didn't give, 21-3 at half. I was like, man, it's not good. It wasn't exciting. Right? Now, I think that in the second half, the critical point that occurred, to me, this is the critical point. Matt Ryan throws a pass. Somehow, Julio Jones
amazing.
Catches this ball and taps both feet in.
Yep.
And I'm like, my God, what a catch. Now you have first and 10, and you're in field goal range. It's at the edge of the field, but you're in field goal range. So I'm thinking, well, I'm just going to hand the ball off a few times, and we're good to go. No. Drop back and pass. Get your behind sacked. Now, we're not talking about Russell Wilson escapability, We're not talking about it. We're talking about Matt Ryan. I like Matt Ryan. Smart guy. Good arm. All those. But he's got two left feet. Dude, he's not going to be hustling out of there.
Yeah, he's no Tom Brady.
Well, I mean, you had two quarterbacks that both of them were same
pocket
thing.
Passes,
sure. And so, boom, he gets sacked, 10-yard loss. Okay, you're still in it. Okay, you're at the very edge of the field goal range. But this guy, Bryant, got a pretty good leg.
Yeah, I think at the point after he got sacked, it would have been a 53-yard field goal at that point.
But it's still third down.
But they wasn't done yet.
Yeah. So
but
to
wait,
me,
there's more.
I'm like, hand the freaking ball off. You're averaging 7 yards a carry. Hand the ball off. No, sir. We're going to go for another pass. Well, now, the whole second half, the defense for New England has stepped it up. And now you got Chris Long over on that right side, the left side of the offensive line. So he's playing against the left tackle. They snap the ball. Chris Long is like a madman heading for Matt Ryan. And Matthews has no other choice but the horse collar.
Holding 10 more yards.
Yep.
Well, now you're out of field goal.
Now they're punting.
Now you're punting the freaking ball. So to me, that is the critical moment. You had an incredible catch that you didn't follow up on. You knock yourself out for being greedy. You knock yourself out of field goal. You could have been up by 11. That would have put the onus all on New England. Didn't do it. So to me, that's the critical point and who I fault. You were talking about all these people in Atlanta melting down and news people. To me, the person directly at fault is Kyle Shanahan. He got greedy. Instead of running the ball and taking the 3 points, got greedy, called plays that, and like I said, in the second half, New England started to pin its ears back and say, we got to put pressure on this guy.
Yep.
Okay. So to me, there's your critical turning point in the game, and who's at fault? Who's the goat, not a good way, in this game?
Yeah. Right. So, okay. Yep. So I'm going to ask you guys, Heath, who do you feel? Do you feel that New England won the game, took the game? Or do you feel that Atlanta melted down? Now, look, obviously, for things like this to happen, there has to be a little bit of both.
Yeah.
But at some point, we're going to say, hey, who do I feel it's more on? Do you feel it's more on Atlanta giving it away or New England taking it?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to say that it was more New England took it with a healthy dose of Atlanta tightening up. Once New England started to make their move, the tighter Atlanta got, the tighter you get, the more mistakes you make, the worse it gets. It's a snowball effect. I think that's basically what happened. I think this finally, I say finally, probably for most people it was no doubt. I think somewhere in my mind I still wanted to leave some doubt about whether Tom Brady was the greatest of all time because I don't really care for him. But certainly at this point now, if – like I said, in reality, there never was really even a shred of doubt whether he was or not. But
right, this kind of, I mean, this.
I can't even try to pretend like maybe the door is open some kind of way.
Not even cemented it, nailed it, glued it. I mean, it's pretty much. So, Tomas, did New England take it or did Atlanta give it away?
I believe that I'm going to agree with my brother Heath over there. I think that New England won the game. And I think that the writing was on the wall because in the first half, of the 30 minutes in the first half, Atlanta's defense was on the field for 20 of those 30 minutes.
The interesting point is as much as Atlanta was beating New England had more yards, more time of possession, and more offensive plays than Atlanta did.
Yeah. Yes. More yards, more everything.
Yeah, throughout the entirety of the game, just about.
But I think that's the giveaway because
And we'll address this later when I refer to Little Dice's tweet to me. But you have a very young defense.
Yeah.
They're out there playing for 20 minutes. You've got an experienced professional playing on the other side of the ball against them. You got an experienced coach. They make all the necessary adjustments. And then, like Heath said, suddenly what they were doing the first half, not working. But now they're out in the field, and now they're driving the ball even worse than they were before. So now, it wouldn't surprise me. I didn't look at the minutes for the second half. But again, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Atlanta's defense was on the field again for 20 or more minutes.
Yeah.
And you cannot win a game if 40 to 45 minutes of the time you're playing defense.
Yeah.
But you're just not going to win that game. I don't care how prolific your offense is.
Right.
You know? So I would say that I would agree with Heath. I think New England won the game.
Right.
You know?
You know, so for me, as much as I want to, you know, take a jab at Atlanta and say that they choked it away, I mean, it's hard to say they didn't, because there were a lot of things that happened that just, like, how did you allow that? But when New England goes on a long, time-consuming, run-the-clock-out drive, scores a touchdown and a two-point conversion,
right,
ends the game of in regular regulation, and then gets the coin flip.
When's the flip?
And it gets back on the field. Yeah. And goes the entire length of the field methodically, because it wasn't, you know, big plays. Although, well, the reception.
Yeah. I was going to say to you, now, hold on.
Yeah.
I thought for a second there that Atlanta had picked up a new defensive back. I thought that Browner was playing for them, because how many holding calls did they have on the cornerbacks?
They did. And
they were obvious. I mean, it wasn't like it was an iffy call. Yeah.
Early in the game, obviously, Atlanta came out hyped up, pumped up, young guys.
Oh, yeah.
Offensively, they jumped all over them. They got this lead, even though they had the ball less and moved the ball less.
Yep.
They made big plays and that sort of thing. And they also, I noticed a lot of holding on Atlanta's defensive backs early in the game that wasn't called.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's true.
Then you flip to late in the game, and then all of a sudden, here comes that experience, right? Tom Brady, who you can't out-experience the New England Patriots when it comes to these situations, right? And all of a sudden, late in the game, all those drops that Hogan and Edelman had, that we all sitting
Mitchell.
There going, man, what is wrong with these guys? You know, they don't ever drop these. You know, and they're making these plays. Then Atlanta starts getting some of these calls on defensive holding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, of course, like you said, the immaculate reception from last night, this catch by Edelman after.
That's crazy. I stood up and I'm like, he caught it. He caught that.
Yeah.
And then they showed a replay, and I'm like, he did. I didn't mean
it. Yeah, he really did.
And so then they go on, and it's a two-point conversion.
Beautiful.
But goes on and scores a touchdown, puts the game out. And one of the things that I think we all lose sight on, you referring to it, is the fatigue factor on Atlanta's defense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about two drives that, and I don't know exactly, but let's call it 20-some-odd plays.
Right.
You know, by that time, and I think that's one of the things that creates the holding, is the cornerbacks are just fatigued.
They're tired.
Their legs are tired. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, my God, he makes a move, and you reach out and grab.
I would also believe that Belichick was in the ears of those referees the entire time.
Oh, well, yeah.
And
experience, baby.
And at some point, those refs are going, you know, it's Belichick. I mean, he's not, you know,
and
opposed to on the other side, you got a young coach. You know, he's only a second-year coach in that team.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And one of the things, too, is, okay, they show these replays, and when you're fresh and your legs are under you and you're right next to the guy and you kind of grab them and pull them and they don't see that arm extension, but as you get fatigued, you can't get away with it because all of a sudden your arm's kind of extended.
Yeah,
Instead of being right on them, you have, like, let's say, 16, 18 inches, and whenever they see that jersey, where before you were right on them and you pulled them and they didn't notice it, like, oh, it's just contact.
Right. Yeah.
So these are the things that I have to lean to, you know, not to mention just to make just back-to-back, including, you know, two-point conversions, overtime. That's not an accident. That's not Atlanta walking up to the, you know, line of scrimmage and fumbling the snap or throwing a pick six. That's New England digging in and taking the game. So I think we're all in agreement that New England took it. So anyway, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night, here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, it's Monday. SEC Pub, a little slow night tonight. You know, that's
no
how Mondays are.
Time
we,
again?
What, you know what?
How you doing?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
It don't get old.
No, it
don't get old.
No, it doesn't.
You know, like every kid that's like 30 and under is doing, yeah, it does. It got old about,
yeah, it got old about
15
40
seconds.
Years ago.
Yeah, about 15 seconds into it, it's like I had a.
But everybody 30 or older.
If they right now, they up to, they shaking it like this. They shaking it like that. Oh, yes, sir.
All right. There
so
you go.
Anyway, so now we got to ask some questions, all right? First of all, before we get to those questions, yeah, you had a conversation on Twitter with Lil Dice.
That's right.
I understand he's a little bitter about the second place finish.
Yeah.
Well,
said he was robbed. He was robbed.
He was robbed. You know, I guess they, you know, the winner did a Coach Belichick on him. You know, got the numbers beforehand.
All right. That was like my buddy. He likes to play those little bets. I forget the name he used for them. Just like,
yeah,
oh, how long is the national anthem going to be?
Yeah.
And over, yeah, and
under.
Yeah,
he's going to miss a word.
Yeah. And are they going to talk about Terrell Owens during this? Or,
right.
You know, or,
oh,
whatever.
Lord,
Aaron Hernandez.
Don't even get me started on Terrell Owens. Oh,
oh yeah, he threw a little fit.
Oh,
right?
My God.
I didn't
God.
See it, but I they were talking about it. And
Michael,
like,
Irvin. Oh, my God.
He threw a fit, too, for his buddy Terrell.
You know, it was worse, man. Look, you got two guys sitting there on a set with you who had just been – given the Hall of Fame award, Kurt Warner and LaDainian Tomlinson. And the first words out of Michael Irvin's mouth instead of, man, you guys are great, congratulations for joining, you know, I'm a gold a gold jacket wearer. Now, correct? No, first thing, well, you know, T.O. didn't get in. And dude, how far up T.O.'s butt are you, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that was just, you know. But anyway, let's not, that one will get to me. So let's move
all
on.
All right, yeah, we'll move along from that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I see your blood pressure rising.
Yeah, it's rising, man. It's rising. Yeah. Rise up. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I got
fall down.
I got irritated. I was talking about this yesterday, and I can't remember who it was, but it was XM, you know, Sirius XM radio, and one guy was a media guy, and he was like, basically, I'm paraphrasing, but he was basically like, yeah, you know, you just can't treat the media like that, and it's a huge pet peeve of mine. When the media thinks
the media,
that they're a,
yeah,
celebrity, they,
yes,
think that people
absolutely
get, like, dude, your job is to listen to what people who other people want to hear about,
oh, no,
listen to them talk, and then tell us what they said.
That went out a long time ago.
Yeah, so he was making it. The thing is funny is the media guy and his guest host was a football guy, and the guy's like, no, it doesn't matter what the media,
yeah,
thinks. You know, but, and this is a situation where it does. Because the media, why in the world is the media picking anything all pro? Do you think these guys sit around and watch film and really understand?
No.
Or do they just, they watch the games maybe and then, you know,
maybe.
Oh, I think this guy.
Maybe, or they have staffers, yeah, watch the game and give them talking points.
Yeah, so when it's all said and done, it should be coaches, GMs, ex-players,
yeah,
that make these
people
determinations.
Already in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah. So, I mean, just the way that this whole media thing is just like.
Well, one good thing is we have to say that finally, our famous kicker, you know.
Oh, Morton Anderson. Great name.
Morton Anderson finally got in.
That's right. That's right. Kudos to old Morton Anderson.
That's right. I forgive him that he went to the Falcons afterwards. But that's,
yeah,
okay.
I try to forget about those things.
Yeah, but he certainly deserved. I mean, he's got all these records, and it's about time that they acknowledge the fact that, you know, he should have been in. But,
all right.
Okay,
so Lil
Dice.
Lil Dice.
So Lil Dice sent me this note because we were talking on a previous show about, well, it started when we decided who we would pick as our top four needs for the draft and so forth. And so I was linebacker and so forth. But anyway, so he sent, you know, he was very
adamant
about, you know, defensive line. So he sends me this tweet. He says, now this is in when the game was, you know, 21-3, first half, you know. And so he sends me this, see, D-line wins championships! Exclamation point.
Okay. Well, so here's what I'm going to say to Little Ducks. Certainly, you need to have a good defensive line. There's no doubt about it. I don't think any of the three of us doubted that or would deny that, you know. But at the end of the game, for as much as you thought they had a great defensive line in Atlanta, at the end of the game, they lost the game. You know, so now part of that, and I'm a believer in this particular part of the system, but this is what happens. I still believe that the way the NFL is set up, you have to win with your second and third year players. When they still have that small contract, mm-hmm. the bulk of your team has to have those players in order to be able to win. And we saw that with Atlanta. That's what Atlanta has. Atlanta has second and third year players as their keys, for example, on the defense.
Yeah.
So who was the number one sacker in the NFL? Who had the most sacks in the NFL during the season?
Oh, isn't it the kid from Atlanta?
That's right.
I forget his name.
Beasley.
Beasley,
right?
Beasley, yeah.
Okay. Now, how many sacks did he have in the Super Bowl?
Zero.
Zippity-doo-and-da. Okay. So why? Well, because you're looking at a bunch of young kids. Okay? They, like he said, they came out fired up in the first half. And like you said, man, they were playing really close, really tight. So they got away with some stuff because of how they played. They got to the second half, and they started getting beat. And guess what? That self-confidence, into the toilet. And that's what happens with second and third year players. You know, they're not the wily veteran that's been there for 7-8 years and knows, hey, it's no big deal. You know, it's just cyclical. We'll get on it. No. And so it affected them negatively. So it didn't make any difference. Defensive line, linebacker, cornerback, you know, it didn't make any difference. In the first half, the kid from Jesuit and LSU, Jones, man, he was like all-world middle linebacker.
Yeah.
Second half, nowhere to be found. You know, same thing. What's the other kid's name? Collins, the cornerback from LSU, who's on Atlanta's team. What is his name?
Yeah, Jalen Collins is.
Yeah, isn't it Jalen Collins?
Yeah, was he?
I didn't know he is. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
He had an interception. Against the Saints and against Cooks.
Yeah. So again, you know, I can appreciate that Little Dice thinks it's all about the defensive line, but I'm going to tell you, my brother, if you don't have a quarterback that's going to be able to manipulate everything that's out there, you ain't going to get anything. That game was won. That's what I said, by New England, mostly because Tom Brady knows how to manipulate a defense.
I agree with you. I'd say, though, it's hard to use that as the baseline because very few have that type of quarterback. So at the end of the day, if you don't have Tom Brady.
We do.
No, we do. Oh, and I feel what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
You're relating it to the Saints.
Right, I'm relating it to us because, you know, they were saying last in the game, right, Super Bowl game, they were talking about how Brady's going to play into his 40s, blah, 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 you know. Man, look, Drew Brees is in better shape, I think, than Tom Brady. You know, or let's say they're similar. Let's say they're both, you know, taking care of their body.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
There's no reason, in my opinion, I'm not one of these people who bashes Drew. There's no reason, in my opinion, that Drew can't play another 3 years at the level that he is. Now, he's going to do just like everybody else. His brain's going to say, yes, I can still do it, and you know, mentally, but his body at some point is going to say, done. But I don't think it's close yet. I think so. If we're still looking at that window that's getting smaller and smaller, then to me, it's like, okay, we have the tool to get there. You know, now it's a question of filling in the blanks. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So, the next thing that I want to talk about is what does this mean for New England? And we'll spend a couple of minutes. It's a Saints podcast, but obviously, it's a huge Super Bowl. What does this mean for New England's legacy? We talked about it. I don't think anybody's going to disagree. Tom Brady, all-time great.
Yeah.
But
Tom Brady, all-time great. Patriots, all-time greatest dynasty.
God, that hurts
Bill
my
Belichick,
feelings. Oh, that hurts my
coach.
Feelings so bad.
I mean, you know, yeah, believe me, I'm throwing up
the only thing worse
a
could be
bit,
Atlanta,
but I mean, it's
but okay.
Like the bottom line is it surpasses anything that the 70s Cowboys or Steelers did or the 49ers or the 90s Cowboys or you name them.
Yeah.
I mean,
it blows
them
out of
the
water. Yeah.
Tom Brady, you know, they, and Belichick combined 7th Super Bowl, 5 wins.
5 wins. And like
I believe
you said,
11 AFC championships.
They
4 more times that they were one step away and didn't quite make it.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. I mean,
in
a game like that,
close,
you know, you got two of the best, potentially two of the best teams, because you might have your three best teams in NFC. And the fourth best team is, you know, but the bottom line is you losing to another team in a Super Bowl to get there and to be competitive you know, like even the ones they lost were, I mean, they didn't go down easy.
Yeah.
You know,
well, they should have won the Giants game.
The
That's
Giant
the one you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Where the tight end caught the ball on his helmet.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like.
And that's when they were undefeated.
They
ended up 18
and
1.
That's right.
Instead of 19 and
0. Yeah.
Crazy.
And you know, and like we were talking about just now with Drew Brees and his similarity to Brady in that way with their age. And, you know, watching the game last night, another thought I kept having was, I don't see this coming to an end for the Patriots anytime soon if they don't want it to.
No.
Tom Brady keeps playing the way he said. He wants to play well into his 40s, and I don't know if he'll make it mid-40s or whatever he said
in
the past.
No, I don't think
so.
But certainly
the point is he certainly could have a couple of more years left easily, and they're going to be right there again.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know.
Absolutely.
So speaking of, you know, is it over? How much time do they have left?
This year, Captain speaking. We're cruising at an altitude about 35,000 feet and be reaching Louis Armstrong New Orleans International Airport about 2100 local time. Here at BS&B Airlines, we realize you have other options and we want to thank you for joining us today. So please sit back, relax, and again, thank you for flying BS&B Airlines.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. Now back to your two yets and a coon ass.
All right, so
yes.
Speaking of, is it over? Well, we were talking about New England, and during the break, we're going to these long,
dynasty.
I like it. I refer to you as intelligent speaking, and you help me out there, make me feel better about myself.
Vocabulary words for Dave.
But I read a post, and someone was trying to make the argument that, well, this is going to basically destroy Atlanta, and they're done. They'll never amount to nothing. And you know, and I'm just like, listen, I'm no Atlanta fan, but just to say that they are young and talented, I believe they have a bright future, and they're going to be a tough out for the next couple. You know, it's going to be a tough out, Tomas. I can see your face. Let's hear the other side.
Mr. Romero, I will have to respectfully disagree with you, sir.
I don't know that it took this to ruin Atlanta's franchise, but okay, go ahead.
And here's why I would say that. No matter how intelligent your quarterback is, no matter how gifted he might be, it's when you find the right combination between the offensive coordinator and the quarterback. And when they're thinking they're on the same page, and as they've done a number of interviews with Matt Ryan, where he said, you know, it was like I wanted to call this play, and sure enough, that's what came over the headset. You know, I knew we were on the same page, thinking the same way. Okay. Now, it took them 2 years to find that combination with each other.
Right.
Now, Kyle Shanahan's on his way out, on his way down to become a 49er. Where in the street is that Chip Kelly?
Well, they may have changed their mind if they were watching the game.
I don't think so. They're like, hey, buddy, listen, let's give you a call back.
Word on the street is Chip Kelly may be his replacement in Atlanta. Now, this is sort of like, you know, you can't expect to win when, in the course of your career, how many offensive coordinators are you going to have where you have to learn a completely new system? Chip Kelly's system is not going to be Kyle Shanahan's system. And so, is he going to hold on to Kyle Shanahan's system? No. You know, because egos get in the way. So, that you're asking then Matt Ryan now to ditch everything that he's learned and pick up an entire new play-calling system and an entire new philosophy on offense. So, to me, that's one thing. Number two, again, word on the street is that there are a number of players on the Atlanta team who are dissatisfied with their contracts. Two of them being the running back and the quarterback. Well, again, if you have that issue as well, I don't see it. Yes, they're young, and that's a positive because, again, like I've said, what I truly believe, you have to win in that second, third, maybe even the last year of their rookie contract. I mean, that's why there's turnover all the time in New England. We're talking about New England. You know, people talk about, man, I can't believe Belichick got rid of him. But yeah, because contract was getting to that point where they didn't want to overload their money. So I think Atlanta will still be a good team. Don't get me wrong. I don't think they'll have the dramatic drop-off that, say, your team, Carolina, had. Yeah. You know, because you actually have a quarterback with class as opposed to one whose class left.
A little character.
Okay, so there's a character issue there, you know. But
But I don't see them being able to maintain that same level just because of the offensive situation with the offensive
quarterback. Understandable. It was just hard to watch that defensive line dominate the way they did early in the game.
Plus, they've got an old guy at the corner on their defensive line, you know, Freeney.
Oh, yeah, I don't think he's a starter, man. He just
But when he comes in, just he gives him that little gas, but he's getting very long in the tooth.
And I won't be able to remember his name, but their best cornerback went out in like week three.
True Font.
So they lost a really good player early.
And isn't he a free agent this year, if I'm not mistaken?
Don't know.
It'd be kind of a little early for that. I don't know.
I think he's the restricted free agent.
Oh, okay. Maybe so that means he's got 4 years under his belt. So, yeah. Anyway, so let's move on to a little Saints talk.
Oh, good.
Yeah, a little Saints talk. I mean, you know, listen, I think that's a lot of stuff. It's, you know, everybody.
Well, we had to cover that. We had to.
That's the Super Bowl. Atlanta participating. But Cam Jordan made some comments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cam Jordan said, you know, yeah, sure, I'd like to have another defensive end playing on the other side of me. But, you know, I think I'll take a cornerback. And then I think he went on to say, you know, I think I'll take two cornerbacks.
Those guys suck.
Yeah. So, you know, interesting, you know, to the rock of our defense, the most steady and stabilizing force we've had on our defense for years now, says we need cornerback help.
Well, here's the thing that I would say to that before I could, if I was, let's say, Cam Newton, I'd take a jab at Tomas. But I would have to imagine that Cam Jordan was talking about the two guys that are on the corner at the end of the season in Webb and Sterling Moore.
No, he's not. He's talking about Crawley and Devontae Harris.
You know what my guess is? It probably would be he's talking about when any other of the rest of us talking about cornerback is health concerns. Whether you're ever going to have those two guys that you want to have on the corners there consistently or not.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's the bottom line.
Well, I mean, I understand all that, but then at the end of the day, he's being paid to play. He's not being paid to make coaching decisions.
Oh, he said that. He let off with that. I'll let those guys do that. He let off their part. Yeah, he's not.
And when we get closer and we start talking about the draft situation and free agency, which, by the way, it's 22 days until the NFL Combine, 31 days till free agency, 80 days to the draft, and 90 days to rookie camp.
Just wanted to let you know. Draft.
Yeah.
But way to keep us, you know, and that's the thing.
But 22 days to the combine.
I know.
And I already told my wife, don't bother me. I'm calling in sick wherever I have to be. I won't be. Don't call me to come to a meeting, Dave.
No meetings.
Because, you know, I'll be sitting there at the TV watching all those. You're going to think I'm Mel Kiper Jr. And you know, I got to let my hair grow and put some dippity-doo in it and, you know.
Yeah.
So.
No, hopefully not.
Cam Jordan needs to know that he gets paid to play football. We get paid to give
opinions.
Yeah,
we get paid.
That's right. No, I think when we get closer, I'll give you. I'm already trying to formulate what I think the Saints should do with free agency and with the draft and how to approach the issues that we talked about. The four top that we each had. We had a couple that were a little bit different.
Right.
But we have a really deep draft coming up for a cornerback, as well as for defensive line.
Yeah.
So the only place that's not deep is linebacker, which is what we need the most, in my opinion.
Right.
So I think we'll see a combination of things happen between free agency and the draft. And I think that actually, if I had to say it right now, I think Cam's probably going to get his whip.
Hmm. Yeah.
There'll be at least two addressed by either or both.
We have some money. It could be addressed through free agency and the draft.
Right. I mean,
that's the whole thing, is that both of those concerns can be addressed this year.
I already have my top guy.
And in the draft.
Yeah, I already have my top guy for free agency and in cornerback.
Yeah? You going to share that with us?
No.
That's going to come up.
I'm just telling you that I have my guy pay. I'll give you this much. He's from the Lone Star State. Okay, there you go.
I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about. But we'll start.
He doesn't play for the Cowboys. Okay, keep going.
We'll start. Continue our series next week on, you know, the different positional groups.
Yes, because we didn't do offense yet.
So, but if there's a guy who has an opinion who gets paid to give opinions, that'd be Coach Sean Payton.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And he had some comments about Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and his comments were essentially, as I paraphrase, that he's a great quarterback. And it felt like he kind of backed up off that real quick and was like, You know, he's like, he's a difference maker. He's a great player. He's, you know, but we don't really need, you know, I can't remember what he said, but he basically backed off of it and said, you know, that's not a position that we're concerned about or something to that effect.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder, and is he, and you know, he's a
smoke
smart
screen.
Guy. Yeah, is he saying that just to make people? Because that's the thing, and you see the smoke, and everybody's like, "Oh man, is this the time when they're going to do this for Drew Brees?" And you know, and if the coach is smart, and I don't think so either, but if the coach is smart, he'll add to that fire so that some team
will talk about it and then back off of it. And you've thrown a smoke screen in either direction,
right?
Did he talk about it?
Is he serious? Or
he's not really? Or did he back off to make us think he don't want Deshaun? You know, so
but I don't think. You know, again, I go back to what
I'd be shocked, but who knows?
Yeah, I would be too. And I would go back to what I said before. I think that with the when they picked up Ireland to really work on the scouting and in the draft, I think it's going to make a difference. You know, in what we choose. And so I can't see us going for a quarterback at this point. You know, as long as Drew is healthy, and let's face facts. I mean, it's basically he's comfortable with McCown sitting on the sideline because he's got another pair of eyes. An experienced, you know, pair of eyes that's been playing the game for a long time. He may not have the same skill set, but he can see things. And I think that, that Drew feels very comfortable with him on the sideline. So I don't see that pair changing up anytime soon.
Yeah, that's hard. That's that's hard to.
Which is at some point they got to bring somebody in.
Well, at some point, but I don't think it's like I said before.
So here's the thing. No, I agree with you. I think Brees certainly has, you know. After seeing what he did again this year, and he did not have an oblique thing or a little shoulder thing or a plantar fasciitis, you know, at this point, you got to think Brees could at least, you know, certainly got a couple, maybe three more years or whatever at the level that he's been playing at, maybe. But at some point, you want a guy to come in and be able to soak up Drew Brees' brain like a sponge.
That's gonna be the
for some period of time before Drew Brees.
That's gonna be the worst part of it is that we're gonna make like we had the kid that we drafted in the third round, and let's say we do something again in one of the later rounds, and then next thing you know, he doesn't pan out. Next thing you know, Drew Brees is retiring or moving on, and nobody actually
injury comes that
And then you don't have anybody that he sat there and he Drew Brees mentored him for 3 years. You know, and that's going to – you just hope that you have that. But then, okay, I'll ask this question. Tell me what great quarterback mentored a guy.
Well, you beat me to the punch.
Yeah, like, I think that's a bit overrated. You know, like, and I just came to that conclusion this minute.
Now,
like,
you know, what I would say more so with that with somebody like Drew Brees is, if nothing else, if they learn the work ethic.
Sure.
The preparedness part,
Yeah.
The fact that Drew Brees – mimics throwing the ball and then goes through the progression again after about those sorts of things.
Prescott
he certainly can't put talent into him or the ability.
At the Pro Bowl, that's what Prescott said. He said he was so he watched how he even tied his shoes. He said because of how he addresses the game, he just thought, man, I can learn so much just by watching this guy. But I go back to what Dave said. I mean, you think about the top players. Brett Favre was a great quarterback. But he was a worthless teacher. But Aaron Rodgers got better simply because he sat on a bench and got to hear all the calls that were being made by the offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he got comfortable with the system in Green Bay. You know, it wasn't because he got mentored. And when you look at the other great quarterback, Tommy Brady, okay? What happened?
Which one of his understudies went on to be a great quarterback somewhere else?
The other way around. He came in, sixth-round draft choice. And Bledsoe was a starting quarterback. And the only reason he got the start was because Bledsoe got hurt.
Right.
But how much did he learn from Bledsoe? It was his first year in the league. How much did he learn from Bledsoe?
Yeah.
Not much.
And from what I understand, like you talked about Favre, from what I understand, him and Rodgers didn't like each other.
No, they didn't get along.
And in matter of fact, if you even go further back, because it's the one I can think of, is Steve Young.
That was the other one I was going to go to. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They didn't like each other either.
No.
Everything I've heard.
No.
And so my point is.
And they were
is,
two completely different quarterbacks.
So there was one where one guy.
It's also completely possible Rodgers could have came in and started in his first year and been as good as he was.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. But to me, there's no body of work, no evidence that points to, man, every Hall of Fame quarterback had a guy who was at least a Pro Bowler that succeeded him because he taught him how to play the game.
And I just saw something on the I want to say it was the NFL Network. I can't remember now what I was watching. It had to be NFL Network. The difference today and just going back maybe even 15 years You know, the kids who are playing, oh, I know, I was watching about, they were talking about how important high school football is in Texas.
Yes.
And they were showing these stadiums in Texas for high school players.
I know.
They're like college. Multi-million dollar stadiums and state-of-the-art weight rooms. And you're like, where are you? Well, we're in, you know, East Tumbleweed, Texas, you know? And you're like, huh? You know?
Yeah.
So the point was of it was that you have kids coming out of high school that are now prepared as good as the college players were 15 years ago. And you have college players coming out of college that are now as good as the pros were 15 years ago. So it's a whole different ball game. Years ago, you drafted a quarterback with the understanding, son, you're going to sit on the bench 3 or 4 years and learn the game because you're not ready.
Right.
But today, look at what happened in Dallas. Prescott, what was he, fourth-round draft choice?
Yeah.
You know? This kid comes in off the bench. Now, granted, you know, he's got this incredible, the great wall of China in front of him for offensive line.
Yeah.
But still, he's got to make the plays.
And the kid, I think, is going to make himself something out of himself at running back one day.
Ezekiel?
Yeah, you know.
But what I'm saying is that they are coming out much more prepared, those who are actually going to be NFL quarterbacks. Nobody from LSU. But, you know, those who are going to actually be NFL quarterback. I'm sorry. Hey, you know, I'm an LSU fan just as much as anybody else, but let's be honest here. But any case.
And keeping it real.
Keeping it real. That's right. That's right. So, but I think that that's what you're looking at. And so for the Saints, the kid that they picked up from Colorado, you know, he might make another team as a backup. You know, he's never going to be a starter in the NFL. He just doesn't have that quality about him. And as long as Breeze can play, I think we'll wait till – again, let's look at where the Saints were. Breeze wasn't drafted by the Saints. Now, it was a crapshoot, and we won the dice spin there, the dice roll, you know. But I don't see the Saints doing anything different. I see maybe the last year that they think Breeze has got in them, they might draft somebody. If there's somebody else – this year's draft, for example, all the quarterbacks in the draft this year – I don't see anybody in there that's going to be a starter. So,
well, and I think at this point, though, what they're looking for is to hit a home run on a later round pick that they can develop.
Yeah.
You know, so in the past when Breeze was young, it was some undrafted free agent that they brought in and tried to.
I'm trying to remember the name of the kid from Oregon. You remember the kid from Oregon who one of our former coaches was coaching Oregon or Oregon State? I can't remember what it was. And he was a left-hander. And he's a tall, skinny guy.
Yeah.
And he
could
throw the ball. And they were like, man, look, he puts it in the barrel every time at 50 yards or whatever it was. You remember that?
I remember just because you said the left-hander. I can't.
Yeah, he's a left-hander from Oregon State, maybe, I want to say, or something like that. And anyway, no good, you know?
So then as
then they pick up the kid from Colorado.
Well, and that's the thing. Where I'm going with this is that at the beginning, and when he was in an early point of his career, it was – well, let's find one of these undrafted guys and work with them. Then now it's like, hey, we spent a third rounder. At some point, as Drew gets older, they start taking bigger risks because, you know, like, hey, you can't hope that an undrafted guy is going to end up being your heir apparent, you know. So, anyway.
Well, maybe that later third round, fourth round developmental guy is the guy that does benefit more from sitting behind a guy like Drew Brees for a while.
Yeah, that might be true.
As opposed to the first
round. Is if your starting quarterback is willing to mentor him, because that's the other part of it. Because again, Steve Young didn't get anything from Montana.
I'll go out on a limb here and say that Drew Brees is the kind of guy that'll teach a young kid how to.
Well, even though he said that one thing, I can tell you for sure, he'll never be a coach. Did you hear him say that?
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean? What was the context?
Because they were asking what they thought he would be doing after his football career.
And he's like, not coaching.
And he said, you know, I might get into politics, but I can tell you for sure, the only coach I'm going to do is my kids. Yeah. I'm not getting into coaching.
No.
You know, that's so
interesting.
My answer would have been, you see my bank account, nothing.
Nothing.
That's what I'm going to be doing.
I'm going to do nothing.
Yeah. I'll be driving around eating Papa John's. Papa John's. What's the other one?
Jimmy John's.
Jimmy John's. All these John's and pizzas and stuff. So, Tomas, any final thoughts?
I got lots of stuff to talk about, but we're going to cut the show short, so I'm good. All right.
Man, that's it. All right. Heath.
Looking forward to off-season stuff.
Are you
free
really?
When does
free agency start?
He just gave you the numbers.
I wasn't paying attention.
Man, I gave it to you. I had to pull it back up on my phone. Say something while I'm pulling it up real quick.
It's the beginning of March, isn't
it? So a Mexican,
good thing I saved it.
Italian and a priest walk into a restaurant. Come on, hurry up. I'm dying over here.
The free agency begins in 31 days.
31. Jeez, that's a long time.
Yeah.
That's 31 days from today.
Okay.
So that would be 31 days from,
So that'd be 31 days.
No, because when the show airs, it won't be. The show's on tomorrow, so it'll be 30 days.
I like that, man. This is happening in 15 days. Oh, 15 days from today, so that makes it
Romero,
15 days.
Romero, bite me. All right, here we go. So, again, 22 days till the combine. I know it's March 3rd through 5th.
I did hear 80 days to the draft. That bothered me. I think
80 days
to
the NFL draft, 31 the free agency, and 98 the rookie game. So free agency is the first one, you know, that we have to be seriously looking at. And like I told you, I mean, there are a couple of guys already on my list that I've, as I'm paring down that list, you know, and there's definitely a defensive end on my list. There's definitely a cornerback on my list. You know, so those two positions, I definitely see them making a run at these players.
Any guards on your list?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
There are two guards.
He's making his list.
One,
checking it twice.
Yeah.
No, I'm telling you, I've never. It's one of the wonderful things about doing this podcast for me, is that I'm really into now doing all this research for the podcast, as well as for our fantasy things. You know, but this has really excited me this year. I've never done this much. Usually, it's like, oh, next week is the draft. I better start looking at some of these players, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, it's still 80 days away, and I'm already looking at, you know, who's got what position, what, you know. So
there you go.
Anything that Mel Kiper says, just go opposite of him. There you go. You're good.
So anyway, congratulations.
Or Ian Rappaport, another idiot. Okay. Yeah. Have so I anyway, offended everybody?
Congratulations to Red Jim.
Yes,
winning
absolutely.
The BS and Beer Pick'em League.
Absolutely.
Next year, I'm going to take it serious.
Damn.
And what I'm going to do is the opposite
of
whatever
I
want to do.
We said next year we're doing something different now. Next year the three of us are going to compete separately from our group.
Right. We're going to do the overs and unders and stuff.
Right, that's what we say.
You know what, man? I wanted to make if somebody out there is willing to put the money out, because I called a tech company to make an app where it's like the league that I'm in with my buddies, because it's not just one team or the other. You can say, well, I don't like that, so I'm going to go with the over or the under. And there's just so many. Like, and I'm like, there's not a good app out there that allows you flexibility of saying, oh, I want power picks or no power picks, or how much is that power pick? It should be something that's customizable.
Right.
And say, well, my power pick is worth 4 points. No, just 2 points or whatever. And there's nothing like that out there. So you're kind of left with one team or the other. The only option is, do you want spread or not, you know?
Yeah.
And or maybe I saw where you can rank it. You can say, well, I picked this team, but that's number 7, so you get so many points if that one hits.
Right.
You know, confidence level. Yeah. But anyway. Yeah. All right. Well, for Heath Elson-San and Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.